So our scripture reading today is from Matthew. It's chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So I would have told you this was about 4 or 5 years ago, but it was 7. We got to go to Israel. And the very first day, we were at the Sea of Galilee. So I brought 3 pictures to share with you, because for me, until I was there, it was hard for me to figure out when I would read something in the Bible. It didn't always make sense to me what it really looked like if I'd have been there. So that white, bluish stuff at the top of the picture, that's the Sea of Galilee. It was really foggy that morning. I don't have any pictures of blue water. Okay? But it gives you an idea. There's not really any trees on that hill. That area around the Sea of Galilee, except for having a couple larger cities, they're not real big. It probably doesn't look too much different now than it did 2,000 years ago. And like most things in Israel, they build a church up on top of whatever it was that was supposed to happen there. So there's a church on top of this, and then there's a garden. And the whole idea of the garden is that you'll kind of sit there and think about what Jesus did there to give you an idea what it looks like. And again, all that hazy stuff is the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is not very big. It's like 8 miles across and I think 13 miles long. I think for me, when I think of sea, I think of bigger. But remember, it's a desert, so, you know, water's a big deal in the desert. But I just wanted to give you an idea, you know, when we're talking about this, kind of what it looked like. It's just a big sloping hill. There's really not many trees on there. You can argue about how many people were there, because it talks about 5,000 men, and there would have been women and children, and that might be a little more important as we get towards the end of the message. So how many people have heard that scripture read before? Well, most of you have. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty prominent. And so I was reading a book this week. I think it's Understanding Faith or Faith Understanding. But one of the things that the guy said in it was, you know, the whole idea of becoming closer to God is not that you read something one time and then you understand it for the rest of your life. He said, it just doesn't work that way. That as you read things and your life changes and you become closer to God, you're going to have understandings in different ways. And so that's what I would tell you about this. Even though you've read it and you kind of think about it, we're going to always continually try to understand Scripture better to become closer to the Lord. So I kind of named this, well, what did we learn from the feeding of the 5,000? So the first thing I think we learn is how compassionate Jesus was. Because he could have said, hey, you guys just all go home, go to the Pizza King, eat some pizza, and then I'll be back in a couple hours. Or figure it out for yourselves. But he didn't do that. He told the disciples, well, all these people are here. We have a responsibility to show them how we're going to take care of them. And I think Jesus does that each and every day. Now, whether we're open to seeing that compassion is a different thing, but we see it. Now, Jesus really went here to rest. I mean, that's how this started. He came there to rest. He ends up speaking to 5,000 people, and then he asked to figure out how he's going to work their dinner plans into the night. And so it shows us that Jesus is never too busy for us. I've had people come to me before, and they had an issue about praying because they didn't think what they wanted to pray about was important enough for Jesus to hear. Or they didn't think they were good enough for Jesus to answer the prayer. Or they didn't deserve Jesus' answer because of things they've done in their life. And I would tell you that none of that stuff is true. He's not too busy. We get too busy sometimes where we may only go to him in times of trouble, times of illness, times of concern, but he is always around us. The question is, will we take it? And I think also that it's pretty clear in here that everything comes from God. And so I didn't really talk about this. I meant to, and I forgot. The reason I put Russ Abel is he's very ill. I heard sort of left-handed. And I remember one time being really sick, and I had three doctors, which is a bad sign, just so you know. But all three doctors came into the room at the same time, and they asked me if I understood how sick I was, and I said, yes. And they said, well, have you talked to your pastor? And I said, yeah, he's been, when pastors could go into hospitals, he was coming into the room about every day to see me. And they said, well, we just want to make sure that you've seen him and talked to him because you're really that sick. And I said, I know, but I can't do anything about that. I mean, I have to trust you guys to do whatever it is you think is the right thing to do. And obviously, to some degree, one of the three of you has faith or we wouldn't be having this conversation about church. And so at least my doctor, because he's talked to me before, my family doctor has talked to me before about faith and that he thinks that doctors don't really cure everything. Sometimes there are miracles that happen that you can't explain. And even if you have a hard time following that or believing that, somebody talks those doctors into being doctors to help us, to be there when we need them. And I've already given some examples that today where Dr. Mahler has COVID, but she isn't so afraid that she won't continue to treat people, even though she knew that was the risk. But all those gifts come from God. So what does Jesus kind of teach us? Because what he's showing us is how for us to be disciples, how we're supposed to treat other people. Well, first of all, we're supposed to teach because he gave some kind of a message. But he also taught by what he did. So Pat was the one talking about missions today, right? I've got like five names right today. I'm feeling pretty good about that. But she's talking about missions. Well, one thing is those missionaries have to go out and do the work, but someone supports them, and that's us. And so we teach, whether we do it actually by doing it or whether we support those that are willing to do it. So there's a couple different ways that we help teach. He fed people. In this case, he literally fed them with fish and bread. And he nurtured the group because the disciples said, hey, just tell them to go. We didn't ask them to be here. They're on their own. And Jesus' answer was, well, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to take care of them. We're going to help them. So I've been going to church since I was 18 or so. Let's just say it's more than 5 years. And on my birthday, I'll be older than 23, just so you know. And so one of the things that I see in churches a lot of times is that somebody comes up with an idea to do something, whether it's adding to something that we've already been done or something new, and there's somebody or some group that will have all the reasons why you can't do that. And what they're trying to do is get it to where it's perfect, where you have everything in the whole entire world to exactly get it done, 100% no chance of error kind of thing. Well, that's not what happened here. What we learn from this is Jesus took what he had, which was the bread and the fish, and he made it work. So I think what we learn from this is we don't have to have everything in the whole entire world perfect to try something or to make it work. It's just not a requirement. It is nice if we have all the resources in the world to do that. Doesn't mean you can't make a difference. And sometimes I think if, as a church, not just church like us, church and big, if you can't fix everything in the whole entire world, I think sometimes people get discouraged and try not to do anything. Well, that's not really the response. We can help whoever we can help. So if we're able to help one person, whether we do that individually or as a church, that's one person that's been helped that wasn't helped before. And whether we can do a whole family or a whole community, whatever it is, it's different than it was done before. There was a group in Muncie, and it was called Teamwork for Quality Living. And they seemed to me to be like the perfect example of this. What their goal was they could go back in and say, if you have a young male or female person, and they grow up without any leadership in their family, and there's a lot of that that goes on in the world right now. Either the parents aren't there, or the parents are there, but they're not participating, that there was almost no chance that that boy or girl would graduate from high school, because no one before them had. And if they didn't graduate from high school, there's almost no chance that their kids will graduate from high school, because it's just the same thing over and over again. Teamwork for Quality Living, what they did was they took mentors and put them with those kids, as many of the kids wanted to be. So when I worked at Old National, we had an event called the 100 Men Who Cook, and we made them our sponsor one year. And I would go out and get people to either be cooks or to sponsor the event to some degree. And one of the things that I kept hearing was, I just don't see how this succeeds. I just don't see how this succeeds. And so what I ended up telling them was, I said, okay, let's say there are 60 kids that they're trying to help, and they only help one. If that one kid finishes high school at least, or goes on to college, any kind of college, trade school or anything, you not only made a difference in his life, his family's life, but all those generations after that. And so I think the total donation that year for the organization was 50 or 60,000. And I said, yes, it is hard for them to prove that they're making a difference. But I said, they don't have to change one life, because it would make such a huge difference forever, not just in that one person's life. That's what we are asked to do. We are asked to do what we can do to change lives. And the other thing here at the end of this, they kind of pick up all the scraps, and so there's no waste. And so the idea is not to do things that are wasteful, but to use all of the resources that God gives us the best that we can. So now I think there's two parts to this story. So I use William Barclay's commentary most of the times. He wrote them in the mid-1950s. I've got a couple others I look at, but he's my like go-to. So the second part of this is, do you think this was really a miracle? So the first answer is, yeah, Jesus just made all this bread and fish appear of what he had. Or the other thing that Barclay talks about, he said, maybe it wasn't really a meal like we think of, you know, eating four fish and two loaves of bread, except in our case now we'd eat five fish and 20 loaves of bread because we're bigger and taller. But it was more like a communion meal where they just had a little bit of the bread, a little bit of fish. Now, the other thing that Barclay talks about, and I wonder this, is did it end up really being more an idea of that people shared what they had, which I put in parentheses, the real miracle. The real miracle. Because often we have the resources to share, we just choose not to share them. So the Sea of Galilee, I showed you those pictures. There's not even a decent sized town. It was a 20-minute trip on a bus. So it's not, you know, when you're walking and that ground's pretty hilly through there, it'd probably take you an hour from even the decent sized town to get there. And people back then, they knew when they were gone someplace, you weren't going to stop at Cracker Barrel and get lunch because there weren't any. And so whatever you were going to eat or drink, you had to take it with you. So I think it's likely, I don't know, but this is what I think happened, that it's likely that once they said, hey, we're going to share this among us, that people that had fish on them and bread on them, they shared what they had. And so often we get so much from God and we're worried about us instead of sharing what God gives us with others. And so I think in a lot of ways, that's really the true miracle here. At the end, he was able to get however many people were there. And I've heard numbers anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000. And it's a big hillside. They'd fit there easy. But however many people were there, they were willing to share what they brought to feed each other. And so whether it's the school supplies to the elementary, which we're doing, whether it's what Pat talked about with the missions, what we're doing is taking what God gave us that we didn't really deserve, and we're sharing it with those that need it. I think that's what happened here at the end of this message. That he, by what Jesus showed them, they were used, God's Spirit used them to do the right thing. The scripture next week will be Romans 10, 5 through 15. Again, we have a leadership board meeting on Tuesday. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we could come together this day to worship, to praise you. We can never thank you enough for all that you do for us each and every day. Let us be guided and led by you in all things we do till we come together again. Amen.